Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we just enter once again into the Holy of Holies. We desire to be with you more than anything else, more than anywhere else. Our one great desire is to be with you, Lord. I'm looking forward to the day where I come upward, where I hear the trumpet, the command of God, and we come upward. We'll meet you in the air, Lord. And we'll be with you. And the tribulation period will take place. And we will be with you. And we'll have a glorious time. And we'll be with you in manifest presence. Oh, how I long for that day, Lord. How I long for that day. But this day, we can be with you. We can be with you more and more and more. We can be with you more and more and more. Jesus, we thank you for what you did. You made possible eternal life. You made possible eternal life. Oh, the covenant that we have is because of what you did. It's all because of what you did. And it talks there in 1 John chapter 2. It says that you are the propitiation for our sins. Not ours only, but for the whole world. So we thank you. And that is empowered when a person believes, then it becomes ours. I've believed. So it is mine. I've been forgiven. I've been made new. And in this life, I can know you. I want you to manifest to me more than I have ever known before. I seek you. I push into your presence. I am not satisfied with where I've ever been before. I want to know you more. 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 I believe this church wants to know you more. We want the manifest presence of God, the most that we can possibly have at every moment. Always going forward. Always going forward with you. Always having more manifest presence of God. And we're going to do this until we're called upward. And when we're called upward, we'll be in your presence completely, immersed in your presence. But as much as we can have of you now, I don't want to not have as much of you as I can have. God, I've lived most of my life in that state. I don't want that anymore. I want more of you. I want more of you. I push into your presence. I long for you. I cry out for more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you. Manifest to us. I hunger to know your word. I hunger to know your moving. I hunger to know your presence. I hunger to be with you more. So, Lord, come. Manifest. You're everywhere all the time, but I invite and I welcome your manifest presence. Holy Spirit, that's you. And I acknowledge your presence. I say, so be it. So be it. So be it unto your desire and your design. If this isn't it, God, that's okay. We'll go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. But we want all of you that we can possibly have. God, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. Just as I enjoy the sun on a summer day, basking in the sun, I enjoy basking in your presence. And I want all of you that I can have. We want all of you that we can have. We want all of you that we can have. Oh, more, 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 more. E la pa'an sabene ike dehru'un ku pahara iki shandalo je be ze nge gru'un dat de me to tukuni das no ule pa'anara epemet ike shkede chehinoku kunde Jehina azino ogunkapa, jeilono odini isra adene, jehinoka, jehinoka, jehinoka kansidite, Oh, manla maneskede, nula haple indelipondala ala in senikarai, 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 senikarai no kiki, not dukun kita. Oh, more, 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 more of you. We want more of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More of you, more of you. Amen. 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 Let's go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs, chapter 20, and verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, I want to look at a couple of different aspects of this and some implications of what's being said here. That was the King James. I'm going to look at it out of the New American Standard. A couple other translations as well. New American Standard says, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. So counsel or a plan in the heart of man is like deep water. Think of a well. You know, in John chapter 4, Jesus was he was traveling with his disciples. The disciples went away from him. They went into town and to get some food, and he sits down, and there's a well there. And we refer to it as the woman at the well. He has this long conversation, one of, if not the longest conversation recorded between him and anybody in the Bible. And he sits there, and you know, she comes and she's got a bucket to get water. Well, think of that. That's exactly what's being spoken of here. Counsel in the heart of man, or a plan in the heart of man, is like deep water. It's like going down and getting water out of a well. A man of understanding draws it out. New Living Translation puts it this way, the NLT. And this shows a little, we're going to look at a couple different aspects of this, a couple different ways that we can examine this, both of which are very applicable. Through good advice, or rather, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person of understanding will draw it out. Then the Amplified says this, a plan, motive, wise counsel in the heart of a man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding draws it out. And then the Passion Translation says it this way, a man of deep understanding will give good advice, drawing it out from the well within. So the first aspect I want to look at on this is that a person will draw it out. Now the it is the understanding that is within them. It is revelation that is within them. They will draw it out for themselves from within themselves. Now, don't think that I'm getting into New Age philosophy here, because I'm not. New Age philosophy says man has all the answers in himself. When I'm talking about in yourself, you need to understand, according to the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, I believe it is. If you'll put that up, Debbie, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 in the King James. Now may the God of peace, put it up in the King James. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy, that's W-H. In other words, completely. And I pray, then he talks about you wholly, the whole man. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. So you're a three-part being. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a three-part being. So when I'm talking about drawing up from within you, I am not talking about drawing up from within your mind or drawing up from within your soul, I mean your body. I'm talking about drawing up from your spirit. And there are going to be things in your spirit that your mind does not know. And the reason is that your spirit is vitally connected to the Holy Spirit, to God Himself. And there are going to be things that you're going to get in your spirit, and we need to draw those up. So what I'm talking about is drawing up the revelation knowledge, drawing up the understanding from deep within yourself. What I'm talking about is pulling into the known, and you're going to find out, you're going to be speaking some things out of your spirit. You're going to draw some things out of your spirit. A man of understanding draws counsel, that is God's plan, up and out of himself, out of his own spirit, to live out and to walk it out. So you're going to have things on the inside of you that you're going to have to pull up out of your spirit. That's where it's at, is in your spirit. You're going to get some things in your spirit, and you're going to have to bring those up. Now, this is one aspect. We'll look at the other aspect here in a little bit. But let's go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. And just put this up in the New King James for me, Debbie. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. And it says here, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his heart. What this is talking about is that God is going to communicate to your spirit, and he's going to make divine deposits into your spirit, and it will illuminate things that your head does not know. Once again, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And then let's go over to Romans 8. You can leave it up in the New King James. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 16. It says here, the Spirit Himself, that's the Holy Ghost. This is the third person of the Trinity. This is God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit of God is going to bear witness with our spirit. He is not going to communicate with your soul. It'll rise to your mind, but it comes to your spirit first. So he's going to communicate with you spirit to spirit. He's going to communicate with you spirit to spirit. Again, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding, those who understand this will pull up from their inner man the revelation knowledge that God has for them. This is huge. This is massive. And many have no idea that they can do this, nor that they should do this. So I'm going to just kind of look at some verses, and then we'll kind of get back into this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? God who is alive, God who created all things, God who was, is, and always shall be, God who is the one who holds all things together by the word of His power, God dwells in you. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, last two verses of the chapter, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? But pastor, you were saying your spirit. Yeah, your spirit is within your body. God communicates with you spirit to spirit, but your body houses your spirit. It is very much like a tent or a tabernacle. So he says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, you have dwelling within you the very Spirit of God, the very one who raised Jesus from the dead, the one who was there at creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved, and He dwells in you. He dwells in you. And He communicates with you spirit to spirit. So counsel or the plan of God in the heart of man is like deep waters. It needs to be pulled up. A man of understanding will draw that counsel or that plan of God from their inner man. We need to have the revelation knowledge that God communicates with our spirit. Because the plan of God is not the plan of man. The plan of God is not the plan of man. The plan of man was, we're going to see a king, and this king is going to come, and he is going to overthrow the Roman government, and he is going to bring in the kingdom of God. And the plan of God was, my son is going to come and he is going to die in the place of humanity. He is going to pay the price. He is going to take the sin of the world upon him. He is going to pay this price, and the immensity of it will deal with sin once and for all. The plan of God is so different than the plan of man. And the plan of God for you, he places within you. Don't settle for the plan of man, the counsel of man, not even your own head's counsel. Because I'm telling you, the plan of God is so much better, it is so much higher, and is so much broader. There's so much more to it. So this aspect of of drawing up is, a man of understanding draws the counsel, the plan of God up and out for himself, out of his own spirit, to live out and to walk out the plan of God. So we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do that. Again, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. Or, as it said in the New King James, searching all the inner depths of the heart. And the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, when you get this revelation, it then gives you the potential to take steps. But until you've got the revelation, you're fumbling around and just trying to figure it out of your head. And your head is never going to be enough. The amazing thing is, if you take enough shots in the dark, you'll hit a target. And we often are taking shot after shot after shot after shot after, oh, I hit it! I hit it! And we think, oh, I got it! I got it! We're taking shots in the dark, folks. We have got to pull into the known where our mind and our body will even hook up with it. The will of God. Because it's going to require you dominating your body, getting your mind and the soul and the spirit together. So let's go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and put this up in the King James. Psalm 37, verse 23. It says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Those steps are ordered by God, but you must understand the plan so that you can walk in those steps. He has them ordained for you to walk in. But if you are not getting from the core of your being the revelation from the Spirit of God, you're not going to walk in those steps, even though He has them ordained and ordered for you to walk in. People will read this verse, they will say this verse, and they will proclaim that everything that they, every step that they take is the will of God. That's not what this says. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, the one who will listen to God, who will get the message, who will get the revelation, who will pull that up out of their spirit from the depths of their being, and then begins to walk in the ordered steps of God. God delights in His way. And honestly, you'll delight in the way that God has set up for you. It will be beyond your wildest imagination. Good. It will be wonderful. So, you've got to have, again, a man of understanding draws counsel or the plan of God up and out for himself. He does this for himself, for his benefit, for his life. He will draw this out of the core of his being for himself, for his life. This is the first aspect, out of his spirit, to live it out and to walk it out. That's what that's talking about. Then let's look at one more verse, Proverbs 20 and verse 24. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. It says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? Makes it sound like that we're always going to be confused. That's not what it's saying. It is saying that God knows everything, and we need to listen to Him and walk out the way that He wants us to walk. We need to listen to Him and walk out how He wants us to walk. Another translation puts it this way, it is the Lord who directs your life. For each step you take is ordained by God to bring you closer to your destiny. So much of your life then remains a mystery. In other words, you're not going to see it all, but what you are going to get is He directs your life when you pull up the depths of your being. You're much deeper than you know. And when you begin to put that bucket in and you pull up out of yourself that understanding of God's counsel and God's plan, you begin then to walk in the steps that He has ordered for you. New Testament on this, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He has before prepared and ordained, that we should do what? Walk in them. So He has the steps already laid out for us, but we've got to get a hold from the core of our being. God communicates with us spirit to spirit, and we begin to draw this up. We spend time with Him. We delight in His presence. We begin to know the will of God, and as He makes these divine deposits, we pull them up. We draw them up with the bucket, and we partake of the divine perfect plan of God. Because it's perfect does not mean that there is no opposition. Matter of fact, it will be a pathway of opposition and resistance. If you're looking for the pathway of least resistance, it ain't this. It's going to be a pathway of great resistance and opposition, but it is also going to be a pathway of great victory and triumph as you go. It's going to be wonderful. But it is God's plan. And with God's plan, there is going to be resistance. So as a man of understanding, as a person of understanding, you need to listen to your heart. You need to listen to your spirit. Listen where God has made the divine deposits, which is your heart, not your head. It's your heart. You pull out of that arena then, and you get a hold of the will of God, and you begin to walk that out. Your mind will begin to even hook up with it, and your body will go along because it has to. Because you are dominating it. It is not dominating you. So, this first aspect is that a man of understanding draws counsel or God's plan up and out for himself. This is for you. This is for me. This is for us to walk this out. This is for us to walk this out. But then there is another aspect, a second aspect to this. And the second aspect of this is, and we'll go again back to Proverbs 20, where we began, Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Again, it says in another translation, the Passion, a man of deep understanding will give good advice, drawing it out from the well within. There is the implication that we will draw out of the well that is within other people as well. In other words, a man of understanding will begin to know how to draw upon the supply that God has put into other people. A man of understanding, people are deep. People have a great reservoir of the things of God. He makes divine deposits, and there are things in each of us. And a man of understanding will get to the point where I understand Miss B has something in her, and I can go before her and I can pull on what's in her. I can pull on what's in you. I can pull on what's in you. I can pull on what's in you. So it has the aspect of drawing out of other people as well as drawing out of myself. A man of understanding will do this. There is this tremendously deep aspect of this, but also a third aspect of this is I will learn to draw out of myself as well for other people. Everything that's in me is not always for me. So we'll look at the second aspect, which is to draw out of others what's in them. Drawing out of others what's in them. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what he says is that there, well, let me go on into the next verse and we'll get into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but it is many members. And then in this same chapter, jump down to verse 18, and it says, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. So, when God put the body together, according to where we were at in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that He fitted it together, which is what it mentions there in 1 Corinthians 12. But then it talks about it being knitted together as well. Close knitted. But the reality of it is, when God put the body together, He did so, and there is a supply in every part. So let's go back to that again in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. So it's fitted together by God, and it's compacted by that which every joint supplies. So there is a supply within you. There is a supply within me. And the supply that is within you is not the supply that's within me. So God brings all of these unique different parts together. He brings them together, and then He fits them together, and then He actually knits them together in a close-knitted community. And that is done by the giftings, the talents, the abilities, the supply that you have. You have a supply. And we come together, and when we activate our supplies and we walk in love toward one another, there is this close-knittedness that takes place. And there is a drawing upon the supply of the other members. Again, where we began, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In other words, God puts the body together. He puts the church together as it pleases Him. As He did that, He knows what is in every person. And because He knows what is in every person, when He brings us together, there should be a drawing upon one another. There are giftings within you. There are giftings within you. There are giftings within you. And I need to be a man of understanding and draw upon the deep part of you and pull out of you what's in you. You need to learn to do that. This can't be just up to me. This is up to you. This applies in the service where you draw out of heaven through me what God has for you. It's not just my supply, it's His supply. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says, and for me. He says, pray for me. And then he talks about that God would pour out through him. In other words, you have much to do with what is received in the service. It's not just about what I bring. It's about what you draw out of heaven. I am a conduit through which God operates. But when we come together, we all have a supply. And we draw upon the supply of one another. And just as you draw on the supply of heaven through me, you do that through one another as well. You draw upon the supply of one another. You pull out of them what is in them, and you will get so good at this, you will pull out of them even something that's not quite in them. Because what you're doing is you are saying, God, I need you. We need you. And you will pull through people God Himself. Because He is the great supply. He is the great supply. And you will pull through people. Now, you can do that just you. But you get with the body of Christ, and you're going to find out the more that you get together and you learn to operate together, and prayer is one of the great ways that you do that. When you pray together, God will pull, or rather He will pour out, and you will pull through people in prayer what God has. And it will be a divine connection. Now, you have to watch it because you don't rely on people. But when we gather as the body, God put things in you. He didn't put in me. And I can draw on those things that God put in you. You are much deeper than you realize. There is much more in you than you realize. And we will pull on that. We will draw on the supply that is within us. So we will do that for ourselves, but we also will do that for other people. When we come together as a body, we will pull out of heaven what God wants, not even just for me, but what He wants done in that service. But then when we have times of fellowship, we will do the same thing. We will have times where maybe Jennifer and I are sitting and we're talking to a group of people, and I will pull out of people things that others in that group need. It's not for me. It's for someone else. But a man of understanding will draw out of the supply. So we learn to do that. And when we learn to do that, that is what we call true spiritual fellowship. In this place of true spiritual fellowship, we bring our supply. We understand that our supply is not all that there is, and we draw upon the supply of others. Now, we're getting close to closing time here, so I got to start wrapping it up. But I want to go over, and I want to read this out of the English Standard Version, and it's Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1 out of the English Standard Version says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment." People that isolate themselves, that will not become a part, they are not seeking the betterment, benefit, and blessing of the whole. And it actually says they're seeking their own desire. When people isolate themselves, it's not a good thing. Why is that? Because you have a supply. You have a supply. You have a supply. I've known many people, you know, that I've talked to them, and I remember one person in particular, he was talking about his dad. He said he doesn't go to church, but he's a very spiritual man. He's got great revelation, great knowledge, knows the Word of God. My thought process is, he needs to be in the church that God has for him because he has a supply that he needs to bring. We need to bring our supply, to not isolate ourselves. And when we bring our supply, again, we understand my supply is not all the supply that there is. And when we come together and we bring our supply, I will be available for others to pull on the supply of me, and I will bring my supply, but also I will draw on others and their supply. And that's how we need to get to. That's where we need to get to. And I mentioned this verse earlier, I think in prayer, in the, again, going back to Proverbs chapter 12. Or, I mean, chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. And it's where it talks about, you know, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, you know, God has made them both. But then the Passion Translation puts it this way, "Lovers of God have been given eyes to see and ears to hear from God." You need to hear from God. And one of the ways you're going to do that is to draw on the supply of others. God put the body together for that purpose. He didn't make Lone Ranger Christians. None of us are to be a Lone Ranger, no matter how gifted or talented we may be. So don't think that you do not have anything to draw up and out of if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Because there are things in you that he has made deposit. You say, well, I don't have as much as you. Let's quit comparing. God put things in you. And so don't think that you don't have anything to draw up and out of. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, there is much in you. Also, don't think that you cannot draw on the supply of others. You can. Commune with one another. Take time to be together. If you don't take time to be together, you're not going to draw on one another. Commune, share, and pull spiritually, and you will be amazed at what that results in. God will give answers to you through the most simplistic of phrases sometimes when you are spending time with one another. We cannot isolate ourselves. And that's the next thing. Don't isolate yourselves for either prideful reasons, I don't need anybody else, nor for insecure reasons, I don't have anything to bring. Don't isolate yourself. You are a part of the body of Christ and a unique member in particular. God wants you to rise up and to take your place. You are a part. And don't think I'm not an important part because you don't stand behind the pulpit, because you're not seen. We had people in different churches that I've been a part of which have been amazing at being greeters. We had some people in the last church that we pastored, and both of them have gone to heaven now. I did one of the two. I did the funeral for the woman, and then the man passed away since we've been here. And they were two of the most hospitable people. When you walked in the front door, I'm talking about Ted and Sandy, you walked in the front door, I mean, they made you feel like you were the only person on earth. They were incredible at that. Don't think that if that's all you've got. We had some other people, and they were extremely outgoing, both of them. And then there was a church that I was part of before that where Jennifer and I lived in a small town in Root House. There was a church that I had come out of, Pastor David Prosser. It was his church. And there was a couple that couldn't have been more different than Ted and Sandy. I mean, couldn't have been more different. They were quiet. They were shy. You would think that they wouldn't have any. They were two of the best greeters you would ever meet. They were amazing. Because they would greet people. They would share. They were completely different. But they were very, very good. Don't think that because it's not a big thing that you're seen, you don't have a part. Dear Lord, we need greeters like that. We need people that are so good at that, people leave and they go, man, they're amazing. That was so wonderful. We need people that receive the offering the same way. We need people that are greeters in the parking lot, that are helping people park. We need people that are going out with umbrellas when it's raining and helping people come in. Don't think that you don't have a supply. You have a supply. And there are many, many different areas that we definitely need your supply. Oh, it's just a small thing. I'll tell you, the small things sometimes have more impact than what we think of as the big things. There was a man, and I'll close here in just a moment. There was a man who was an instructor at Rhema. And when I was there, he was the senior associate. His name's Tony Cook. And Tony Cook was a fabulous teacher, wonderful teacher. And I mean, just an incredible teacher. And he was very, very talented in that. But he had been an associate at another church before he came to Rhema. Now, he was a Rhema grad, but Rhema had not started as a church when he got out of Rhema. It didn't start until 1985, and he was one of the first hires. He was their associate pastor. But he was an associate elsewhere first. And when he was on staff at this place, And you know, he was a teacher, like I said, just a premier teacher. I mean, just an incredible teacher. And when he was leaving that church, I think it was to go to Rhema, and he was talking to people, you know, he was talking to them about what they really remembered about his ministry. And it wasn't the teaching. And this is I put him up there with anybody as far as the ability to teach. He's amazing. He's great in the arena of history as well. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. But what they said was, and I believe it was after a funeral, that he had just been so loving to them. So don't think that because it's not the big, some of the small things have the greatest impact. So don't take for granted that what you have to offer, what your supply is not important, because it is. You have much in you. We need to learn to draw on one another. We need to learn to draw that up. We need to learn to give that out. We need to learn that our supply is not the only supply. You know, as a minister, we can get to that point where I think, well, my supply is all that I need. Oh, dear Lord, what a fallacy to think that. So, let me read that verse one more time. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. A plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw out that counsel or that plan of God. Not only will we draw it out, we will walk it out. We will look at the steps that God has laid out for us, and we will walk in those steps. If he says turn left, we turn left. If he says turn right, we turn right. Whatever he says to do, we do. But you need to learn to listen to your heart. And you need to learn to draw on what's on the inside of others. Father, we thank you. This is a day you've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Oh, Holy One, Holy One, Holy One. We praise you. And God, as we get ready to depart, out of the 91st Psalm, it says, because we've made you our habitation, we dwell in you, you dwell in us. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, you are my shield, my buckler, my strong tower, my place of refuge. You are my rear guard. I will say that, and I do say that. You are that for these people. And because they've made you their habitation, no evil shall befall them. Neither any plague come nigh their dwelling. You give your angels charge over them. Your angels keep them in all their ways, bear them up in their hands, lest they even dash their foot against a stone. They have that divine connection with the Holy Spirit on the inside. And Holy Spirit, you set their agenda. You set the destinations for them, and they will keep those destinations, and they will go where you want them to go and do what you want them to do. And even tonight, God, they'll be at the right place at the right time. They won't be at the wrong place, but they'll be at the right place. And you protect them. As they go forward, they tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon, or the serpent. They trample underfoot. The power of the enemy is under their feet, and they walk in the authority that you've given to them, and they go forth in triumph and victory because they are led by you, and you only lead in triumph and victory, and we give you thanks for it. And now, God, I thank you for stirring our hearts, for showing us the destiny that you have for each of us and for this church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.